Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing stupid stock predictions, prices on the rise, and getting vaccinated.
That's right, dude. You said getting vaccinated as one of the stories we're going to cover, and that's because that's a personal one. You and I, we just got vaccinated like an hour ago, an hour and a half ago during lunch at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in Atlanta. That's our mass vaccination site, and Georgia is one of those states where vaccinations are open to everybody at this point. And so we checked this morning. There's some spots open at 11:30. So you and I jumped up there. We got our vaccines, man. And now you and I, we're doing our part to make sure that our life gets back to normal as soon as possible, because that's something that we're all wanting these days.
Yeah, for sure. And I was kind of getting a little bit of FOMO. Some of our friends were like driving a ways, like over an hour in order to get their first shot. And I was like, well, I don't really want to drive an hour to get the shot. But we didn't have to, because the Benz is just doing such a good job at bringing thousands of people a day into there to get vaccinated. It was a well-oiled machine, man. It took very little time. It was super easy. Everybody directed us well. And I feel good having the first one in, going back in 3 weeks to get number two. It's just kind of, it's nice to be on the way ourselves. Yeah. And as a country, being on a way towards just having just a massive amount of the population vaccinated. Pretty quickly.
Did you get emotional or anything when they stuck you in the arm? not from like physical pain, but just, I've heard some folks talk about how they they got a little emotional. They welled up a little bit because they realized that, man, for the past year, this is something that we have all kind of collectively together, that we've been working against. And, they were like, oh, finally getting that first injection. It made me realize how long we've kind of been under the weight of this pandemic.
Well, I didn't get as emotional as I get when I was watch like It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas or anything like that. But
you did start to cry when they poked you, right?
I was like, it hurts. And I actually like barely felt it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at the needles anytime I go and get shots or vaccines or whatever, but it must have been the tiniest little needle or something like that, because he was like, all right, we're all done. I was like, wait, seriously? I kind of wanted it to hurt more just to like prove that I was actually getting a vaccine.
Yeah.
I was just like, wait, what's actually going on here? But needless to say, if you are eligible for your vaccine, go get it. Way easier than you might think it is. And we can continue down this path towards resuming some sort of normalcy. You know, I saw yesterday that it's opening. Yesterday was opening day for baseball. Are you excited about that, Joel?
I saw one of the games got postponed because of COVID. But I am excited.
Such is life.
Even though I rarely get to watch baseball these days, I like it. I like to watch a game
like
every once in a while. And I like just knowing that it's happening, even though I don't really go to games like I used to or watch games like I used to on TV.
I was curious if you're excited about maybe going and seeing a game in person, paying $10 for a beer. That's not something you've been able to do for a while now.
That was the one thing, being back in Mercedes-Benz. I was like, man, I'm really excited about going to a soccer game one of these days when crowds are allowed back in there. But yeah, the pricing on the beer is a little outside my budgetary restrictions.
Not at the Benz, because they actually
true,
make beer
there.
Affordable. But like in most typical stadiums, like baseball stadiums, football stadiums, it's like
10, 11, 12 bucks.
12 bucks for a pint of beer.
Yeah. And what are hot dogs at Mercedes-Benz? Like $2? I mean,
I think it was like $1.
$1.
Like $1.
They've done a great job at keeping the prices on concessions reasonable, so you can actually you're spending a lot on the ticket just to get in, but then you're not completely fleeced at the concession
exactly.
stand,
yep.
Which I appreciate. All right, Matt, let's get on to the stories we found interesting this week, our Friday flight, and let's start with taxes. For folks out there who are working on their taxes already, well, this year they feel like go-getters as opposed to procrastinators because of the deadline that was extended. You don't actually have to file your federal taxes until May 17th.
Everybody gets a little pat on the back.
Exactly. And as you're working on those taxes, though, make sure to save the receipts that for your PPE expenses, especially if you are opting for those fancy Etsy masks, right? Like, I think Etsy has just been booming during the pandemic as people are like getting their fancy mask on. It adds up to get one of those sequin masks, Matt, as you know, which I know you like to wear from time to time.
I would have considered like a Japanese selvage denim mask, maybe, if somebody was making those.
You go.
I kind of like those that style of jeans, but sequins aren't my thing, dude.
I don't know if I'd put denim over my face, though. Like
it would work, though, wouldn't it? Like, it's like super thick.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice tight weave.
But the IRS just clarified that face masks, hand sanitizer, and disinfecting wipes can now be deducted as medical expenses. This is extra good news if you are actually able to find disinfecting wipes at any point over the past 12 months.
True.
Although that's been, they've been hard to come by.
Yeah. And so there are two ways that you can go about getting this tax deduction. If you itemize your expenses, all of those PPE purchases, those personal protection equipment purchases can now just be lumped in with your other qualified medical expenses. But if you are like the majority of Americans who take the standard deduction, you can also make that PPE purchase or get a reimbursement from your HSA or your FSA accounts. This probably isn't going to completely change your taxes and, you know, save you hundreds of dollars, but it can help you to spend down some of those FSA dollars if you're in a lurch.
Truth. And while we're talking about taxes for a minute, Matt, we're going to talk more about investing here in just a second. Well, Robinhood just sent out an email to people that use Robinhood for investing, to their investors, about potential phishing scams happening right now. Evidently, some folks are receiving a fake email with links to tax forms that you're supposed to download. And those forms and documents contain malware that'll mess your computer up. So don't do it. If you get an email supposedly from Robinhood saying, here are your tax forms, click on this link, we would suggest you go about getting those tax forms another way and not clicking the link that's in the email, because it could be a scam. All right, anytime you get an email that's asking you to take an action, verify the address of the sender before clicking. You want to like go up there in the top, click down, and you want to see that it's actually from somebody at Robinhood.com, not like a fake address, right, that it looks like it could be from Robinhood, but it's not
like,
actually.
Yeah, like Robinhood with like three R's at the beginning or something like that.
Exactly.
That's how I would run a scamming organization.
You'd be good at that, man. Don't do it. Use your powers for good instead. But basically, whatever they're asking you to do, just go straight to the source. Go straight to the Robinhood app or Robinhood.com and click on the tax form links there. Don't click the link inside the email that you got sent.
Yeah, and evidently a lot of college accounts are getting targeted with some of these phishing scams as well. So if you have a .edu account or .edu email account, make sure to look out for those. And, you know, so another Robinhood story that the AP reported. Robinhood is cutting the celebratory confetti and streamers that fill your screen when you make your first deposit. A lot of folks out there are familiar with the confetti. Robinhood has been criticized for gamifying investing, leading users down a path of making ill-informed investment decisions. You know, we like gamification in the area of personal finance, but we have a sort of love-hate relationship when it comes to investing and gamifying that, right? And so the confetti on Robinhood, on one hand, like, it feels like a celebration essentially of ignorance, right? Like, many folks are using platforms like Robinhood to trade individual stocks within a brokerage account, when instead they should be buying and holding index funds within a Roth IRA. There was even a Wall Street Journal article that mentioned this Robinhood investor, quote-unquote investor, right, who literally says he doesn't know what the bleep he's doing. That's a self-censor right there. But he's making money, and he's amassed over 500,000 followers essentially overnight because he happened to make some money within a few days. It's ridiculous. Investing is not gambling, but a lot of folks are treating it that way now. And so in essence, like, that's what the confetti on a platform like Robinhood represents to us.
Yeah, it makes me think of this cartoon, Matt, that I've seen before, and there's like two lines. One for this guy who's got like the secret to a happy life, and this other guy who's got like the secret to saving money on taxes, and everyone's in the saving money on taxes line. And I feel like everybody's following the like quick money crowd right now on TikTok or your favorite social media site. Those are the, even if they don't know what they're doing, people are lined up to try to hear from those people. It seems exciting, and yet a lot of those people are going to get burned, and those people don't very often reveal the losses that they've endured at the same time.
That's true.
On the other hand, though, when we're talking about the confetti thing, like, I understand getting rid of that and how it kind of does feel like a celebration of ignorance or this over gamification of investing. But we've talked before on the show that Vanguard uses confetti too when you increase the percentage that you're putting into your retirement account. And you know, I've said that actually I thought that was a good thing. It's like celebrating this smart move. It's this really small thing that does kind of give you some sort of a behavioral reward for doing the right thing when it comes to investing more. And investing that money is certainly better than just blowing the money on junk that you could have bought online instead. But you need to make sure you're going about investing in the right way. This past Wednesday, we covered Roth IRAs on a Bestie episode, and everyone should be investing inside of tax-sheltered accounts before they're investing in a brokerage account. If you like the ease of investing that accompanies some of these apps, like, we understand that some of these apps are way easier to use than some of the clunky websites, even from some of our favorites like Vanguard and Fidelity. Like, love those guys, but you know, they could get a web designer in there or 100 maybe to like really make their platforms easier to use. But if you're into the better user experience, check out the M1 app. We have a write-up on our website about that. And what makes M1 great is that they allow you to invest inside of an IRA, whereas Robinhood doesn't give you that option. But no matter which low-cost app or site you choose, it's crucial to avoid the investing mindset that's prevalent right now. Basically, slow and steady, not sexy right now, but we think it is sexy and that it's actually going to make you wealthy over the long term.
Yeah, it's sexy because it will make you wealthy.
Exactly.
Not for any other inherent reasons, right? Like, that's why nobody likes it.
It's not flashy. It's not a Corvette.
Not flashy at all, but that is how you're going to win with your money. And, you know, like, we're talking about people taking advice from other people, right? And how, like, folks are, like, looking to this guy that happened to make a few hundred bucks, like, in a few days. Really, that glorification of speculation is not only confined to TikTokers, right? It expands to, quote-unquote, professionals out there. That's what we're going to talk about next. Also, did you like those $6 words?
The glorification of speculation.
So let's talk about stupid stock valuation predictions. If you read the financial headlines, often you're going to see headlines of expert investors predicting the future stock price of an individual company. And often these predictions have little to no basis in actual reality. The Financial Times, they just wrote a story about a Tesla stock prediction of $3,000 a share by 2025. And that was made by a now famous investment manager, Cathie Wood. We always shrug when we see these headlines and kind of quickly move on. But some people get like those cartoonish dollar signs in their eyes. They get the dollar face, you know, like the dollar mouth emoji pops up when they read these headlines. And because they adjust to how they invest based on that one person's, you know, prophetic utterance, basically. While it is a hair better than investing based on the advice of somebody who knows nothing, who happens to have an account on TikTok, it's still a ridiculously poor strategy. And so just know that these forecasts that make the headlines have little to no basis in reality. You know, often they're based on assumptions, they're based on flimsy number models. And dude, oftentimes I feel like it's just kind of built around hype, because these are often companies that these managers and that these companies are invested in themselves. And so when so much attention is being focused on these individuals, they have the ability to seriously affect the price of a stock. And so it's like, yeah, come on, everybody, like, jump on board. This is what we want it to do. So come on, please buy into this stock.
Yeah. And if you make hefty predictions, you stand to benefit if other people decide to make their investing decisions based on your guidance. And so it does feel a little self-serving, and it makes a lot of the headlines. And I think there are some people out there who are like, one, they're maybe making decisions based on something they saw on TikTok. And then two, maybe they're making decisions based on a headline from somebody who seems like a really intelligent investment manager.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out there making predictions. There's a lot of headlines to go around. And so you have to know the game that you're playing. And we would suggest playing the game that eliminates all of those voices and allows you to continue the slow and steady wealth building that is far less risky and is actually going to build you wealth over the long haul.
That's right. Yeah. So again, yeah, slow and boring investing is the way to go. And we'll say too that both of us are invested nearly 100% in index funds. And that's actually something we're going to talk about next week on Wednesday's episode, how it is that we specifically invest our money.
Oh, snap.
We're going to dive into some specifics there. Yeah.
All the dirty details coming out next week. Awesome. Well, yeah, we got
all the non-sexy details.
Well, that'll be a fun episode. And yeah, yes, we got more to get to on this one, though, including getting paid with a wheelbarrow full of pennies. That's going to be our ludicrous headline of the week. We'll get to that and more right after this break.
All right, we are back from the break, and here in a little bit, we're going to talk about the new World Happiness Report that just came out, and specifically what it is that makes these different countries happy, including the United States. But first, Joel, let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week, which is, a man demanded his final paycheck. The auto shop delivered 91,500 greasy pennies. Dude, we saw this last Friday, and listener Danny, he sent it our way as well. This one's kind of funny, but, you know, definitely not if you are the dude getting paid. This is, yeah, definitely a ludicrous situation, and this happened to a guy just south of Atlanta who received his last paycheck from the mechanic shop that he worked at in pennies, and they dumped it on his driveway, covered in the story. Like, it sounds like it may have been covered with oil, but like, in fact, it's something stickier and something that's even harder to get off. Like we just assumed it was going to be like oil, or, you know, oh, it came from an auto shop. But like, no, 91,000 pennies. It's not like they just like emptied out the cash register. These were new pennies, and for them to be greasy, that means they added something to that. And honestly, man, this, it kind of makes me mad. Like, this is such a jerk move by this employer, you know? Like, I guess, I don't know, initially it's like, it seems like it's kind of funny, but really this is just kind of like a way for an employer who's being a bully and controlling their employees. It's definitely not the way to treat people.
All right, the only positive spin I can think of with this headline is, does this mean that the coin shortage is over? You know, we talked about the coin shortage months ago.
That employer, he's the one that had all the pennies.
He was hoarding them, man. Yeah. Like, so maybe he is also contributing to something else, so it makes him an extra dubious fella. But we do also believe, I think this is just another nail in the coffin of why the penny should be abolished, because you can do stuff like this to people, and it's just a terrible way to get paid. It's a terrible way to pay people. Like, we just don't need pennies anymore in our lives, and they cost more to make than they're actually worth. I mean, there's just so many reasons to ditch the penny. I think, what does it cost? Like 1.7 cents to make a cent?
Yes.
Which just feels absurd.
Feels backwards.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I can't remember the last thing I did that backwards, but like,
yeah. And maybe we can get rid of the nickel while we're at it too. I don't know, but at least a penny, I'll settle for that. And, Matt, it does remind me though that I like made a bet with a coworker one time about whether one of our favorite baseball players was going to make the All-Star game. And he had like an awesome start to the season. And I was like, oh, he's totally making the All-Star game. And then he did eventually make the All-Star game, even though he probably shouldn't, because he was really bad the rest of that first half of the season. But my buddy was like so mad because he really thought he shouldn't make it that he paid me in pennies, $100 worth of pennies. and $100 worth of pennies, it stinks in and of itself, but it's way worse to get like $915 worth of pennies.
Right, so that's 10,000 pennies.
Yeah,
so right?
Hot, yeah.
Well, at least they weren't greasy, right?
No.
You just take them to the bank and just kind of have them deposit them?
I started rolling them myself over time.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, banks sometimes will charge you to roll pennies, so.
Not credit union. Well, a lot of credit unions will do it for free because they got the machine.
Yeah, that's true.
But then you have to stand there for like an hour while.
While they do it. Yeah, so that was kind of funny. I've been in this guy's position, and I feel his pain.
You feel his pain a little bit, yeah. Well, you know, getting paid in greasy pennies is stressful. Something else that might be stressful are prices on the rise, man. Commodity prices in particular. Prices on everything from toilet paper to cereal to bacon.
Oh, don't say bacon.
Yeah, you need to go ahead and stock up now. Get it in the freezer. it's all on the rise right now. Even the price of cardboard boxes is on the rise as demand for products being shipped to our door continues to skyrocket. And so as the economic rebound continues to strengthen, we could continue to see prices rise on many of the staples that we're used to buying. And some economists have expressed worry about inflation becoming a major issue in the future, which means prices would rise at an even higher clip and our spending dollars wouldn't go quite as far as they used to.
Yeah, and while the reports of certain manufacturers raising the price of the goods that they sell start to trickle in, the jury is still out really on where inflation is headed in our country overall, even though, again, a lot of prognostications about what's going to happen with inflation too. Really, we don't know yet. It's still important, though, to take note and to change your budget accordingly as prices do start to shift. Like, if you're a big bacon person, if you have it like three times a week, you might want to add a couple bucks extra into your grocery budget because of it, right? And because surveys and studies are actually showing that while COVID took the top slot on things that Americans have been stressed about recently, last year in particular, as the pandemic is beginning to wane, Matt, COVID's not taking the top worry spot anymore. It's back to money.
Back to money, dude.
Yeah. And so people are stressed about money. And while we don't have much control over what the federal government spends when it comes to our collective tax dollars, we as individuals have 100% a say on what we spend our money on.
That's right.
And as prices are rising, I think we're just going to have to pay a little more attention to our budget to make sure that we're not budgeting for last year's prices, essentially.
Yeah, and if we do see prices go up, to realize that we have control over what we spend our money on, right? The demand that we have or should have for goods should be elastic, right? It's not something that's fixed. It's not just because it's something that we've always done doesn't mean we continue down that path,
right?
And then just end up spending more of our money on that thing.
That's one of the great things, yeah, that we can do is we can substitute items. We can go for something that's more off-brand or generic if we're used to getting the name brand. There's all sorts of ways.
You can go vegan.
You can go vegan. I mean, like, seriously, there's so many options.
But you would never do that.
I would never do that. You could cut bacon out of your life entirely, though. And if bacon got to a certain price point, I would. And it's not like I eat that much bacon, but like I would cut it out of my life. If it was $12 a package for bacon, I would probably be like, cool, not really doing bacon almost at any point. And yeah, I think like that's the power we have. We don't just have to keep purchasing based on the way that we used to purchase. As prices change, we can change at the same time.
Do they make tofu bacon?
I don't even want to know.
I guess you could call it like tofacon or just facon, which makes you want to eat it even less if it's called facon.
I know they have like turkey bacon, and it just makes me think of that like opening Breaking Bad episode where he like it's his birthday and his wife makes turkey bacon and he's just like he's just depressed.
It's not the same.
That depressed me too.
Might make you sad. And on that note, a little segue, let's talk about happiness for a second here. The World Happiness Report, it comes out in March of every year, and it highlights the happiest countries in the world by deciphering emotional well-being and life satisfaction. It's a complex enough model that goes beyond just asking people at any given moment, you know, like how happy they are.
Yeah, you're not going to get great results that way.
It's like, how do you feel right now?
Okay.
Yeah, they go pretty in-depth with it. And there are some interesting things in there that we can learn from that report. The happiest countries in the world are, and have been for a number of years, many of the Scandinavian countries. Finland is number one, with Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, and the Netherlands following. And us here in the United States were 19th on the list of happiest countries, which, you know, we're not in the top, but I feel like 19th is respectable given all the countries of the world, right?
Yeah, and my people, I think the Norwegians, I believe we were number 7 on the list, so... Nice. More power to my people over there. Yeah, it was interesting to kind of see our country's ranking. And I guess you're right, like Matt, with 150 countries in this report, 19th isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But I think one of the key things to take away from the report is that the most economically successful countries, the ones with the highest GDP, they're not at the top of the list. And some people might just automatically or instinctively assume that that would be the case.
Yeah, like top 5 richest countries should be the top 5 happiest countries.
Yeah, or at least, you know, somewhere thereabouts in the
automatic
top
10. Assumption.
Yes, but that's not the case, right? And in fact, more than half of the world's largest economies are outside of the top 20 happiest countries. Money doesn't buy happiness, and that is reflected in the data gathered at this national and country level. It's also true in our own personal lives, right? Like, more money isn't always the solution when it comes to living a better life. And in fact, sometimes it's the over-pursuit of money that leads to a lot of the problems that we incur.
Sure. I think we could easily see how that's the case in the United States, right? It's almost like we have...
More money, more problems.
Exactly.
Can we say it any better than that?
It's true, dude. Although I will say, you know, there's sort of like a baseline that you need to have when it comes to, you know, the wealth of a country. There is some correlation between economic freedom and happiness in the World Happiness Report. As well as our friend, the physician on fire, he broke this out and concluded that there are other important aspects that we should focus on. For instance, like connecting with friends and family, right? We are social creatures, and the pandemic, along with its social distancing, has hampered our ability to relate well with each other, you know, to be able to connect, leading to less happiness, especially over the past year. And so, as important as money is, and as important as money is to us on the show, I mean, it's why it's how to money. It's not how to happiness. Money is incredibly important. But that being said, it's important to make sure that we're getting our relationships back in shape after the 12 months that we've had, not just our finances. We can't only focus on our money and making sure that we're doing the right things there. We need to make sure that we're looking to reconnect, especially with our friends and families
as well. And I'll say a lot of us have probably gotten some new habits. Like, our lives have completely changed, and we're going to have to rework some of those habits so that we can include other people back into our lives as we get vaccinated and as things start to get a little more normal. Yeah. And as the weather gets warmer, we're going to still be able to do a lot of outdoor hangs and stuff like that, which is nice. But you're probably going to have to be more proactive when it comes to bringing some of those people back into your life, people that you haven't seen very much maybe over the past year.
That's right.
And so I think it is going to take some thought and some intentionality as we attempt to ramp back up some of those relationships that we've been sorely missing. And all right, Matt, last story of the day. This one is about privacy and about limiting the ads that are fed to us when we're online. A few weeks ago, you know, we talked about Reader View and how if you're reading an article on an Apple product, it eliminates everything except for the article that you're looking at.
It's so great.
It's nice. It's a way less distracting way to like consume some of the things that you're reading online.
That's right.
But that just makes it so you don't see the ads, even though they're actually still there. But advertisers are still tracking us across the internet, which is why you'll often get fed ads for stuff you were just looking to purchase on another website, right? That's the kind of creepy factor that happens while you're internet browsing. And if you're wanting to boost your privacy and restrict different websites' abilities to track your browsing, switching to a different browser that prioritizes privacy is the answer.
Yeah, and chances are you're using a browser that is just the default piece of software that comes on your machine, right? So, like you said, like if you're using a Mac, you probably are using Safari to browse. Or if you have maybe a Google laptop or a Google phone, you're probably using Chrome. It's just the default. But an article over at the Times recommended that you check out some of the smaller browsers that specifically focus on privacy, if that's something that's important to you. So check out DuckDuckGo, Brave, and Firefox Focus, as all three do a much better job, particularly when it comes to blocking those trackers, which pull information on your identity as well as your browsing. It'll be interesting to see how the advertising industry shifts as more folks become more aware of the fact that they are being tracked.
Yeah, and just like we've got to overcome some inertia bias when it comes to resuming some of those friendships that are meaningful in our everyday lives as things start to get back to normal, like we've got to overcome some inertia bias when it comes to even just like the browser we're using. It's just easy to keep doing the thing that we've been doing, but it's a really simple step actually to just change the browser. And I downloaded the Brave browser and started using it. And it's
You're liking it?
Yeah, and it was super simple to do. It took no time. And hopefully it's going to keep me from being bombarded with some of the ads that I'm typically bombarded with when I'm, you know, searching the internets and reading my, you know, money stories. So that's the goal, and I hope it works out, and I'll keep people updated on that. But yeah, it's a simple step to protect your privacy just a little bit better.
That's right. Well, Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. Listeners can find our show notes up at our website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to some of the different stories or resources that we mentioned during today's episode. And we'll see you back here on Monday where we've got another Ask How to Money listener questions episode lined up for you. We hope you have a great weekend. And Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.